The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians premieres May 23rd, streaming on Hulu.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All righty, away we go. Hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Jared Greenberg, NBA on TNT. He's going to stop by 20 minutes from now. So Jared Goff paid to be a franchise quarterback. Dan Campbell, we know, is a top 10 coach in the NFL right now. Let's do a little draft here. We will do four selections each. We will make this a snake draft. Best head coach QB duos in the NFL. So, Carlos, since you're a visitor, I will maybe let you go first. Heads or tails, my friend? This is between Carlos and Stu. Heads or tails?
Tails never fails.
All right. Well, sometimes it fails, 50%. So we flip up the coin.
50% of the time, it works 100% of the time.
Good job. It's tails. You want to be one, two, or three?
I'll take one.
Okay. You will go one. Stu, thinking of a number, one or two?
Two.
One.
Darn.
So I will go third, and Stu will go second. So, best head coach QB draft duos, Mr. Ortiz. Ooh. I like that, Carlos Ortiz. What do you got?
Go right to the podium, ran up like the Bears. I've been thinking about this for almost 2 hours.
Yeah, you don't really need to think about it.
Give me Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
Shocked.
Slam dunk, number one head coach quarterback duo in the NFL.
So Mahomes, Reid off the board. The start of four selections each. Stu, your selection is... Come on, Carlos! Where's the sounder? Carlos comes to me before the segment. He goes, I got the NFL draft sounder. I'll play it in between picks. So, you know, he was asleep at the wheel. You could run for office. or maybe run us. Stu, what do you got?
I will go with the guy who I think is the second best head coach in the league and a quarterback who is near the top, not as good as Mahomes. I'll go with Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh.
Okay, that's a good one. Carlos, give me the sounder for my first pick. I will go, extra music. For my first pick, I will take Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford. So now I have to snake around here. Mahomes, Reed to Carlos, best QB coach duos. Stu takes Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh. And I go Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford. For my next pick, man. See, here's the tough part. There's a lot of people that have elite quarterbacks and then good coaches. And then they're elite coaches and good quarterbacks. And it's how do you, like, differentiate which one of those are the best?
Yeah, that's the problem I had trying to rank my my power rankings here.
I'm gonna go quarterback wins the day. I will take Josh Allen with Sean McDermott. You know, McDermott is a good coach.
Not even on my list.
Really?
No, McDermott is an absolute no-go for me.
Wait. You know he's a good coach, though.
I understand he's a good coach, but with that whole 9/11 thing that he did,
that was very stupid.
Went off my list. Yeah. Bozo.
I did shred him for those comments. But he's still a good coach, and Josh Allen is a top three quarterback in the NFL. So that's where I go on that one. We will now go back to Stu.
So kind of sticking with your theme of great quarterback and a coach who I think is good, not a great head coach, but a good head coach, I will go Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor.
Wow. Okay. So that was not – they were in my honorable mention. I thought that would be like a third round kind of category. There is a duo that I thought that there was a good chance when this comes back around that they would not be available. I wonder if we're not thinking about this duo. Because Stu did not get him. Carlos, you get two picks. Go ahead.
All right, so all of those are very obvious picks to me, with the exception of McDermott. So this one starts to get a little tough for me because what you said, you know, do I value the coach or the quarterback more?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do a bit of a combo here. In this one, I value the coach more. I'm going to take Shanahan and Brock Purdy.
That was the one that I thought would definitely not be there when we came back.
That's my pick. Because I think Shanahan, you put any quarterback with him, you'll find success. So I'll take Shanahan and Purdy. And then back-to-back, I think this one's a little bit more even now. He got paid. I love the team. Give me Dan Campbell and Jared Goff as my next pick.
Okay. So that is it for Carlos with the K. Right? Is that your last selection?
No, I got one more. You just have four picks each, right? So it's got to snake back around.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I started to... put your picks under Stu's picks, and then there was four there. So let me just get this correct. You have Mahomes and Reed.
Yep.
Then you have Shanahan and Purdy.
Yep.
Dan Campbell. Stu has Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh, and Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor. Stu, who's your third pick?
Okay, so I will go with... I guess here I'm kind of going to... I guess both are very good, right? Mm-hmm. Like... neither the quarterback is a star, at least yet, and nor is the coach. But I really like what's happening in Green Bay with Jordan Love and LaFleur. So I'm going to go with them as my next pick.
All righty. I will then take... it's only 1 year, but the 1 year was sensational. CJ Stroud, who I think is the fifth best quarterback in football right now, and D'Amico Ryans.
That's the one I was between.
Great pick.
Now this gets tricky because you get into the conversations of like Love and LaFleur off the board. They were under consideration. Do you go with the Dak Prescott and a Mike McCarthy? Do you take a Jalen Hurts and a Nick Sirianni? Do you go maybe Tua Tagovailoa and Mike McDaniel? You go through these scenarios. Doug Peterson did win a Super Bowl, but Trevor Lawrence hasn't been that yet. I'm listing all the ones that I'm not picking, by the way. Just to get those out of the way. I'm going to go with my final pick for the best quarterback, best head coach duo. This quarterback needs to be better, but he has all the potential in the world. And we know what this coach is capable of. I'm taking Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert.
I knew it.
Stu's over here complaining like this is a real fantasy draft for the last 60 seconds. Zach's going to do it. I know it. He's going to take my picks.
So my four picks, Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford, Josh Allen, Sean McDermott, C.J. Stroud, D'Amico Ryans, great value right there on C.J. Stroud, D'Amico Ryans, if I say so myself. And then Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert. Stu so far, Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh, Joe Burrow, Zach Taylor, Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur. This is the tricky season. Where do you go with your fourth and final pick, Stu?
Yeah, so there are definitely a few candidates here. None that I love, but... I do like Tua and McDaniel. I think Tua is obviously flawed. He has to stay healthy. He has to prove that he can do it in playoff time in the cold weather. But I like McDaniel a lot, so
because you
think
look like him.
Yeah, that is part of it. That is definitely part of it. But I do like him as a coach. I think he's a good offensive mind. So I'll go to a McDaniel here.
Wow, the disrespect to the NFC East, the Cowboys and the Eagles, right there. Because I would say Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott are better than Tua. And McDaniel's a good coach. You know, Sirianni, he's
almost
made the
fired.
Playoffs three times, but one of the worst collapses you'll ever see, going 10-1, only winning one game down the stretch. And then McCarthy, he has won a Super Bowl and made the Cowboys a playoff team three straight years in a row, but then they struggled to get out of the first or second round of the playoffs. So I thought Stu was maybe going to go a little Eagles or Cowboys there, but not so much. So, Carlos, what are you going to do here for the final selection?
Yeah, I'm going to keep the disrespect for the NFC East going. I am not going anywhere near
Sirianni. What are you
going to
take, Brian Daboll and Daniel Jones?
I'll take Brian Daboll and Drew Lock before I take Jones. No, my last pick, I'll go a little bit off the beaten path here. Give me a two-time NFL Coach of the Year in Kevin Stefanski and Deshaun Watson.
Ooh.
I'm going to go heavy coach value here. I don't know what Watson's going to be, but that'll round out my pick selection here.
Yeah, I think in this exercise, Eagles got disrespected a little bit. Cowboys, even I will say, got disrespected a little bit. Can I just throw one more out there? If we're going to put Stefanski and Watson on the list, and Stefanski deserves to be on the list, two-time coach of the year, Deshaun Watson, it's based off maybe getting back to form. If we're going to do that, getting back to form, what about in Pittsburgh? Tomlin and Russ.
I thought about it.
You thought about it.
I did.
I didn't.
I didn't think about it until Carlos said Stefanski and Watson. That was the only time I thought about it. So here are the results. Carlos did go first. He had Mahomes and Reed. Stu followed it up. Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh. I then had a back-to-back opportunity. I did go with Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford, Josh Allen, Sean McDermott. Stu then goes with Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor. Carlos then had two picks, Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy, Dan Campbell and Jared Goff. Stu then goes Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur. I then ended it up with C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans. We came back. Stu goes with Tua and Mike McDaniel. And then Carlos with the K goes Kevin Stefanski and Deshaun Watson in the head coach QB draft duo. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. We were talking about sleeper teams earlier for this upcoming season in the NFL. Dave in Chicago wants to grab a phone line. He's on the Zach Gelb Show. Dave, what do you got cooking?
Yeah, I wanted to say you couldn't be more correct about Buffalo as a sleeper team, despite Sean McDermott. It's funny, you guys were just doing the quarterback coach duos because, you know, people don't realize how important that is. Well, you obviously would know because you had the combo of Brady and Belichick.
Yeah.
People say, oh, Brady's so great. Put Brady on, like, Cleveland when they were an expansion team for her, he would have no Super Bowl. So, you know, that makes a big difference. But anyway, because I think Josh Allen is actually the best quarterback in football. If I had a team...
You think he's better than Mahomes?
I put Mahomes
How?
Number two. Because the difference, Mahomes has got Reed, just like what we were talking about. He's got Reed, he's got Spagnuolo. Think about Buffalo. All these games that they're known for, 13 seconds game, the Hail Mary game, you got last year 12 men on the field after a missed field goal, which ended up costing them a game. What's all of those have in common? Josh Allen wasn't on the field. Sean McDermott cannot close a game. He's horrible. And even last year, the Chiefs, you know, for the most part, Chiefs had always been such a great offensive team. Last year, you know, they won because of their defense. The offense was kind of lax a little bit last year, but Spagnuolo's defense was, you know, out of this world. And so,
you've had number one defenses before in Buffalo.
What's that?
You've had number one defenses before in Buffalo.
Yeah, but McDermott's defenses just cannot close a game. Just like in the playoffs.
No, you're not wrong on that.
Against Kansas City, as I said, their offense wasn't that great last year. But yet, and you get them in the playoffs, they held the Chiefs. They punted once in the entire game. You can't do that when a team is struggling offensively. Their defense just, it's all McDermott.
Well, that's the tricky part, Dave, because we could all acknowledge, and thanks for the phone call, McDermott's a good coach. Now, some people hear that and be like, what is Gelb talking about? Once again, remember, I'm very strict in differentiating bad, average, good, very good, and great. There's different degrees to this. McDermott is a good coach. But just because you're a good coach doesn't mean you win. Now, Allen is an elite quarterback. And that's a tricky part, to get elite coach and elite quarterback. Now, I can't sit there, and I appreciate Dave's phone call. I can't say Mahomes isn't the best quarterback in football. And let's just remind everybody, I know now we all look at Andy Reid as the greatest coach of all time. How many Super Bowls? I know he went to a bunch of NFC Championship games in the Super Bowl in Philly. But how many Super Bowls did Andy Reid have before the great Patrick Mahomes? Big goose egg. Zero. So the idea that Mahomes is only winning, or the reason why they win is just because he has Spagnuolo and he has Reid, that's not necessarily fair, to be clear on that front. I don't think that was exactly his point, but Kansas City did lose Tyreek Hill, and they ended up winning back-to-back Super Bowls. So that shows you just how great Mahomes is. Allen, to me, he enters this season as the third-best quarterback in football. One is Mahomes, two is Burrow, three is Josh Allen, four probably Lamar Jackson, and then five C.J. Stroud. Those, to me, with Rodgers right there, just don't know what Rodgers could be coming off the Achilles. Those, to me, are your five or six best quarterbacks in football entering the season. But you got a lot of guys that were close to being top five or in the top five that now it becomes big prove-it years on what they're going to be able to do. Like Jalen Hurts is one of those guys. And we'll see what Dak Prescott could do as well. But the Bills, it's not crazy to say that, yeah, if they made a change this offseason to bring a new coach, that because McDermott built them up, just because you have someone build up your house doesn't mean that they necessarily do the roofing for your house. And that the Bills are, they just got to get their roofing done, and that ends up being a Lombardi trophy. Like, they've been right there. And we've seen that before. Guys that change a franchise, which McDermott did, don't always get to see the actual glory days of winning a championship with that franchise. But remember how bad they were to start in the middle of the year? It looked like they missed the playoffs. Then they made the playoffs. They were one of the hottest teams in the NFL. And they just couldn't close out that game. You know, Allen and Diggs just couldn't get that connection. And they got close, but yet so far once again. It is Zach Gelb showing the Infinity Sports Network. We'll go around the NBA world with Jared Greenberg, great sideline reporter for NBA on TNT next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians premieres May 23rd, streaming on Hulu.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, it is the Infinity Sports Network. It is the Zach Gelb Show, NBA on TNT. Sideline reporter Jared Greenberg is here with us as we'll chat about all the happenings of the second round of the NBA postseason. Jared, thanks so much for joining us today. How you been, my man?
Good, Zach. What's going on?
Nothing much. You know, just some craziness last night in the association. Obviously, you were a part of it. I'll start you off with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Man, oh, man. How do you put that into perspective, what he was able to do last night? Because that was really something special.
Not only, you know, what he was able to do in terms of bringing OKC back, but how he did it, utilizing the mid-range, not scoring from three, not scoring by dunks or layups. Everything was from the mid-range and just carving up the defense by Dallas, who absolutely just melted and crumbled in that situation when they had an opportunity to take a commanding 3-1 series lead. I think, you know, people, this is obviously the time of the year, Zach, when people who are sports fans but not necessarily hardcore NBA fans are tuning in for the first time to the league. I hope people are starting to appreciate what a talent and what a budding superstar Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is, and how good he's going to be for a long time in this league.
Yeah, it felt like last night was the night nationally where people start to put some respect on the Thunder's name. Like, I thought SGA should have won the MVP, either him or Jalen Brunson. But even going into this postseason, the Thunder were the one seed, and it didn't seem like they were getting the respect nationally that usually a number one seed would get.
Yeah, but I also get some of that because, you know, in pro sports, it's not about votes. It's not about seeding. It's about winning, right, and going out and proving yourself. And I think, you know, we've learned over time in the NBA, very seldom does a team who's there for the first time win it all. So I think people poked holes in what the Thunder have, what the Thunder are, and that is their youth, their experience, and not a whole lot of size. And what we're seeing so far in this postseason, in this series against Dallas, is that at times their youth has gotten the best out of them, but more particularly, when they get beat on the glass, they usually lose. So last night they were able to overcome all of that, and they tied the series up at two. Now it's a best of three. Now it's a best of three, with the Thunder having two games on their home court.
Yeah, and the momentum of this NBA postseason, it's been a funny thing, not just in this series. Like, as you're talking about, it looks like we were on the verge of seeing Dallas go up 3-1, and everyone think, okay, that series is over, and now the Thunder get that victory, and it feels like momentum has gone right back to their favor. I've got to a point, and I know people love when we make predictions. Who the heck knows what's going to happen between the Thunder and the Mavericks, and then also the Nuggets and the Timberwolves, though?
Yeah, no, I agree. The Nuggets and Timberwolves really strange. Just that you know, the road team has won all four games, right? Like that's wild. And I think, you know, we get consumed in the moment, which is good. We get captivated by the excitement and the here and now of what happens. But I think we sometimes have to pump the brakes and recognize that a series is not won in one game, and even in two games, like we've seen in that Nuggets Timberwolves series. I think, you know, momentum does not necessarily always carry over from game to game. And just because we saw something happen in one game doesn't mean we can make a referendum on who a team is for their entire season.
Jared Greenberg here with us. Let me hit up the other game from last night, Celtics and Cavaliers. I think the biggest takeaway from this game was LeBron James was courtside in Cleveland. I don't think that means LeBron's going to be going back with the Cavs for a third stint. But
you don't?
No. There's the hot take of the day, Jared Greenberg. But the future of LeBron is very compelling. I think it's best for his career if he leaves L.A., but I don't think that's going to happen. You know, whether it's Borrego or Redick or Sam Cassell, they'll get a new coach. And in all likelihood, LeBron will re-sign with that organization, right?
Yeah, I just think it makes too much sense for LeBron to stay with the Lakers. I. But again, you know, every time we think we know what's happening in the NBA, it catches us by surprise. There's some, trick up someone's sleeve. But I'm with you. I think LeBron is staying with the Lakers, and I think they're going to have to make some tough decisions moving forward, though.
Now, you read maybe they trade for Donovan Mitchell, they trade for Trae Young. Is there one name that pops out to you that you say, okay, for the Lakers try to get back in that championship contending mode, they need to add this player to team up with LeBron and Anthony Davis?
Yeah, I think both of those players would help. I don't know if either one of them stamps them as the Western Conference frontrunner, but I think the biggest thing about all of this, in today's landscape of the way roster construction works in the NBA, it's going to be incredibly difficult to land another superstar without giving one up. It's really hard to imagine that the Lakers, as currently constructed, have what will be found attractive by Atlanta or Cleveland or anybody else, New Orleans, who's looking up to give up stars. There's going to be plenty of teams looking to make deals to get out from underneath salary this summer. And then there's the cases of, like you're mentioning, in Cleveland, if Donovan Mitchell doesn't sign an extension, they have to trade him, it feels like. There's going to be plenty of names. Those are just the first two names that we're going to hear rumbling. There's going to be a lot more that come about. But the question for the Lakers is, what do they have that other teams want to give? You know, just because it's the Lakers doesn't mean teams want to make a deal with them just because, you know, oh, it's the Lakers and we can help them out. That's not the way it works.
By the way, you know, we talk about the future of the Lakers. How about the future of the Suns? Coach Bud Budenholzer coming on in. We know that Durant you have Bradley Beal and you got Devin Booker still there, all there for now. That team doesn't really have much of a bench, though. This is a team that you start to think legacy of Durant, and we all know he's top 15, top 20 player of all time, the two championships of the Warriors, but he left Golden State to go win a championship, right, on his own. If he doesn't get that, what do you think the legacy will be of Kevin Durant?
Strange, right? It's just he's a complex and confusing individual. I'm with you. I think he's knocking on the door of a top 10 player of all time. And you know, the what ifs, if he doesn't get injured, if he doesn't have the foot injuries early in his career, if he doesn't have the Achilles injury with the Warriors, are we talking about a top five player of all time? Are we talking about a guy who had a realistic shot, I think, of overcoming Kareem and LeBron for the scoring title all time in the league? That's the pace he was on. So on the court, yeah, he's one of the all-time greats. He's a special individual, but it just has not gone well for him, obviously, since leaving Golden State. I wouldn't count out his career saying it's done. I think he's got some special things still to do, but man, they're going to have to do some, as you mentioned, some real convincing of individuals that it's worth coming to Phoenix on a minimum deal to help them win a championship.
Talking to Jared Greenberg, what do you expect out of the Knicks tonight? I know that they've been decimated with injuries. This series is all tied up at two. Does New York have any gas left in the tank, in your opinion?
I do. Yeah. Again, you know, I'm not just going to take that one game where they got beat down the other day and say that the series is over. I just don't see this team going out that way. Now, do they win the series? I don't know. I mean, I think the Knicks still ultimately win the series, but I don't know. I think that in some weird twisted way, and that's kind of how my mind works, Zach, I think what happened the other day could be a good thing for the Knicks. It made Tibbs pull the guys out of the lineup early, got them some extra rest. It was an afternoon game. You build that into how much, you know, added downtime off their feet that these guys got. And maybe that was a wake up call the way they got beat up the other night. I think the Knicks are going to be, listen, they are, you said, decimated, right? You know, and we're seeing how important OG Anunoby is. When he's in the lineup, the Knicks win. When he's not in the lineup, the Knicks lose. And he's not going to play, but I still think that the combination of what the Knicks have, starting with Jalen Brunson, who, by the way, you know, I would watch this foot injury really, really closely. I'm very, very curious about how serious this is. But somehow, some way, this dude continues just to be able to overcome it. And I don't see him going out the way they did the other day. I don't think that continues.
Yeah, for game two, I call them now Greenberg seats with your great location. I was a row behind the bench, so I had a good vantage point of it. It was so bizarre because at first I thought it was a hand injury. Then I thought, okay, maybe he just got hit in the cojones. And then it comes out that it was a foot injury. Right. Like that had to be pretty damn bad if he missed basically an entire quarter.
No question. Yeah, it was weird. And I have to think, and again, I don't know anything. I'm not reporting anything. I just have to wonder if it was just a coincidence that injury we saw him endure at that point that you're talking about, where he had his hand covering up his groin, so you didn't know if it was a hand or a groin injury. I wonder if it happened somewhere else with the foot. I don't know. It's just, I'm wondering, because it's become such an injury that it's clearly hampering him. When did it happen? How did it happen? And how serious is it?
If people say that Tom Thibodeau needs to change and that's why all these injuries are occurring because of his tough coaching style, how do you respond to that?
I think it's two separate conversations. I think that there are times that Tom Thibodeau does need to take his foot off the pedal a little bit. But I will also say, and I'll be consistent with this, Zach, in this era of load management, where we are putting these guys in bubble wrap and coddling them throughout the course of the regular season, and then expect just to rip off the Band-Aid and say, okay, after playing for 6 months and not really trying all that hard and not exposing you to high pressure, high intensity situations, now we're just going to throw you into the fire, expect you to be able to play 40 minutes at what guys described to me as a playoff game equaling three or four regular season games in terms of the intensity. It just doesn't work that way. I think the Knicks are where they are right now because of Tom Thibodeau, because of his style, and because of the way he's treated this roster, which, by the way, you know, you take Jalen Brunson out of the lineup, you take Josh Hart out of the lineup, and you play them 3 or 5 or 10 minutes less a game, who are you putting on the court that's putting up those type of numbers that are, have the Knicks in this position that they are today?
I don't think you could have said it any better. Like, there's a time to have a Tom Thibodeau conversation. Off of this series, it's not one of them because, right, we had to have the commissioner put in a rule, you have to play 65 games to win these awards. So it's like we all praise that, and then the next thing, it's, oh, Tom Thibodeau, because they've had 7,000 injuries, yeah, this is why when this guy's team is over-exceeding and he's still not getting any praise nationally. The Thibodeau hate to me is just bizarre from people.
No question. And listen, we're dealing with, you know, remember, Julius Randle's out with a shoulder injury. That was a freak injury that happened. It had nothing to do with the amount of minutes. Mitchell Robinson is dealing with an ankle injury that he's dealt with all season long, right? Like, these are not – now, listen, a hamstring injury you could maybe poke holes in. But I would also say OG Anunoby, his entire career starting back in Indiana, he's dealt with injuries. He's a dude who gets injured a lot. And that's not an indictment on him. It's just a fact. And I just think, like – we continue to think without any scientific or medical data that it's the right way to coddle these guys and let professional athletes who are making these exorbitant contracts, good for them. They deserve the money. Mm-hmm. The money's out there. But the more we pay them, the less we expect of them. And now what we're seeing is injuries are happening to teams and guys, whether they play a lot or they don't play a lot in the regular season, right? Like, look at Kawhi Leonard. He played a lot of games this year, but didn't play a ton of minutes. He still gets hurt, right? You see Zion Williamson still got hurt. Injuries are going to happen. It's part of professional
Jimmy
sports.
Butler.
Right, Jimmy Butler, absolutely. The list goes on and on. We can continue on. Giannis, Dame Lillard, all these guys. But to me, what I think, and the commissioner's alluded to this, and sometimes he's backed off of it a little bit. I wish the league would be a little bit more stringent on this, is the fact that there is no data that shows that guys are better in the playoffs or guys are better later in their careers because we reduce their minutes and we reduce the load they get during the regular season. There is no piece of data out there that supports that as a way to preserve guys or, more importantly, to get the best out of them when the postseason rolls around.
Well said. He's Jared Greenberg, NBA on TNT. Do you have a guest tonight? Does Denver find a way to take care of business, or does this continue to be a road party between Minnesota and Denver?
I think it's Denver. Again, I wouldn't be shocked if Minnesota wins it, and we're really seeing a changing of a guard, flip on a dime like we've never seen it before, with the amount of superstars and the amount of high-profile guys who are out of the playoffs and the new generation coming in. But with Anthony Edwards, particularly Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jalen Brunson to a certain extent. But I got to tell you, like, I think don't, as Rudy T once said, don't underestimate the heart of a champion. I think people have underappreciated this Denver team for a long time. And I think they got counted out. And tonight, when Jokic receives his championship trophy at Ball Arena in front of that sold out crowd, I think that place is going to be absolutely on fire. And I think Denver wins.
NBA on TNT's very own Jared Greenberg. Jared, appreciate the time as always. Thank you.
Anytime, Zach. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. There he is, Jared Greenberg. Always enjoy talking hoops with him this time of the year. We will end the show out in style next as we'll update some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that segment the News Brief. Let's get the latest update first, though, from Marco Belletti.
Hey, this is Howie.
And this is Nick
from the Backstreet Boys.
And you're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. And guess what?
Zach is back. All right.
He's live. He's nationwide. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. It's time to update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call this segment the News Brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Let's hear Windy, Brian Windhorst. He was on Get Up earlier this morning on what LeBron James was doing at the Cavs game last night, and what does it mean?
I have been told the reason LeBron was in Cleveland was because he and Savannah were there for Mother's Day, seeing their mothers. It coincided with it being a day later, and he went. And Rich Paul, who was also at the game, I represent several Cavaliers, called the Lakers and said, just so you know, LeBron is going to be coming to the game tonight, so that they weren't surprised. Having said that, obviously, since the end of the season, LeBron has sent several, like, sort of interesting messages. Non-comment on the Lakers going forward, comments on podcasts and on social media about he doesn't know what to do. On draft night, they can trade 3 first-round picks. At the trade deadline, as everybody knows, they did nothing, and LeBron wasn't happy about it. So this little maneuvers to just put a little bit of doubt, I think, is mostly a bit of a thing for the Lakers. Just to remind the Lakers, by the way, just so you know, I'm still out here.
What a waste of 45 seconds of audio from Brian Windhorst. He could have just simply said, LeBron seeking attention. That's why he went to the game last night. Moving on. Let's go to Adrian Wojnarowski. He was also on the ESPN. What makes Bronny James attractive as a prospect?
Bronny James is going to have an impact for organizations, not just on the basketball side, but potentially on the business side. He's almost assuredly going to start in the G League. He will pack G League arenas, merchandising. All of those make him an attractive player, whether it's late first round or second round. So I think certainly his opportunity to play in the NBA is there.
So he tested really well the other day, especially in the shooting department, which people were not expecting, especially from three. You know, let's just also be like, I'm not saying Bronny James can't be good, but the idea that LeBron may be joining your team if you draft him definitely does enhance his draft stock. Let's go to Luka Doncic. He's not worried after the game 4 loss. Looked like the Mavericks were going to go up 3-1 on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now this is 2-2 going back to OKC.
No concern. We just got to be ready. You know, we got to play hard like we did today. I think we played really hard. Big energy today. But like I said, some details, cost us the game. And we just got to be ready again. And obviously, it's going to be hard on the road. But we've done it before. We can do it again.
Make your damn free throws. That's what I would say. And Jason Kidd on the Mavericks free throw issues.
These are pros. They're not machines. They practice their free throws. They practice putting on their uniform. And so it's just about being able to step up. You're going to make some, you're going to miss some. No one's ever, shot 100% from the free throw line.
Yeah, but Jason Kidder used to blow kisses at the basket before making his free throws. Luka Doncic in that spot, he can't miss that free throw. With a chance to tie the game, and you split, that's just unacceptable. Here is Tim Legler Legs on Get Up on ESPN. He faults Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving for Dallas's loss last night.
Where are their two best offensive players when you have to have it? I wouldn't say Luka's been horrible the entire postseason. Even the nights he hasn't shot well, he has controlled games to the extent that he's the best player on the floor. But he's only had one game in this entire run in both series so far, where it looked like Luka at his best. That was game 5 of the Clippers series when he had to have it in a 2-2 situation. Look, Kyrie and Luka last night combined for as many field goals as Lou Dort and Chet Holmgren. Mm-hmm. That's not supposed to happen. And late, they just weren't good. They could not get a big bucket when they had to. Look, give Shai Gilgeous-Alexander all the credit in the world for all those big, tough, difficult jump shots that he made. But here's the thing. Dallas defended at a championship level. They out-rebounded them. They did so many things right in this game, but their two best offensive players came up as small as you possibly can on a night when you just had to have a couple of shots made in the last 6 minutes of the game. Either way, and they win that game and they take control.
He's 100% right. Luka and Kyrie no-showed down the stretch in that game last night. Let's go to Jay Wright inside the NBA. You got Pacers and Knicks game 5 tonight at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. Jay Wright had a lot of praise for his former player in Jalen Brunson.
And I thought that situation in Dallas, like with a real talented player like Luka Doncic, I thought he'd be a great leader of the team. Luka, the leading scorer. But when he chose to go to New York, it showed me that he wanted to be the guy. He loves being a leader. He loves having everything on his shoulders. And it has surprised me a little bit that he's been able to do it with this much effectiveness right away. I mean, he's one of the top scorers in the playoffs. It's unbelievable he's doing it in playoff time.
We go from Jay Wright to Caitlin Clark. This is Caitlin Clark in our first WNBA game tonight.
I'm really excited. I think, preseason games, like, you try to be as competitive as possible, but you're still trying to figure it out, try different lineups. So I feel now like getting out there for the first time is really exciting, and it'll be super special. This is what you've kind of worked for and dreamed of, and now you get to put your jersey on for like the first real time and go out there and play. So I think more than anything, just soak in the moment. You know, we get to play on the biggest stage. There's going to be a lot of people there. It's going to be loud. But you only play your first WNBA game once. So I think just enjoy it.
You know, this is the first year the women's tournament was more exciting than the men's tournament in college basketball. And not only that, it was not just Caitlin Clark. Now, Caitlin Clark is the straw that stirs the drink. She makes you want to watch when you maybe would not have watched. But then you had Juju Watkins at USC. You had Paige Beckers at UConn. Angel Reese and Kim Mulkey at LSU. You go on and on and on. Camila Cardosa and Dawn Staley at South Carolina. And now a lot of these ladies are going to the NBA at the same time. Not Watkins, not Beckers, but everybody else that I just mentioned. So Caitlin Clark is the female version of Steph Curry. And that makes you want to watch the sport. And I do think there will be added momentum to the WNBA, and you've already seen it with some of the attendance for the preseason games. Let's go to Kirk Cousins. He was on Bussin' with the Boys on Barstool. He opens up on the Falcons drafting Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, I think you're reminded again that there are things you control, and there's a lot of things you don't control. And so let's deal in reality, you know, and recognize that fact, and then be a steward, not an owner. So I just believe that I got to steward what comes my way and control what I can control, which is what a steward does. But a steward doesn't worry about that which they can't control.
Yeah. So it's fair to say Kirk Cousins, the Falcons, there's no beef involved.
No, and I don't think there can be. I don't think it's helpful. Like, we're trying to win a Super Bowl, and it's hard enough. Like, you know what I mean? It's hard enough. So let's all be on the same page and let's try to go in a Super Bowl.
It only gets weird whenever they say to Kirk Cousins, hey, you're hitting the bench. I don't think that will happen this year, but is it out of the realm of possibilities? I think it's a slim chance, but I would not say no, it's not. Let's go to Raheem Morris on the dynamic between Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix Jr. in his locker room.
I think the oldness really belongs to Michael when it comes to those things. Kirk's trying to win a Super Bowl, right? Kirk is in full-blown preparation mode to set the Atlanta Falcons up for the best success that they can possibly have. And I think you get no better person to sit behind than a Kirk Cousins type of guy. And obviously, they're probably better, arguably, on other people's teams, but I'm talking about the one on our team, right? And I just think it's a great experience for Michael. And I think he'll learn a lot from watching him move in silence with these guys. And he'll learn on the run, because really it's the empathy and the humility of Michael that's going to come out more when it comes to learning those type of things. And I think that's the most important part of it all. You know, like, everybody wants to make Kurt, you know, have to tell him what to do, but really he's shown him what to do by his everyday movements and his actions.
And that's the big thing. Kirk Cousins doesn't owe anything to Michael Penix Jr. outside of just being a good teammate and be a professional. And then it's up for Michael Penix Jr. to be like a sponge and just soak up everything that Kirk Cousins is doing. Let's go to the ice. Stars are up 3-0 in the game. It's 2-1 in the series. They're trying to take a 3-1 series lead. We know a 3-0 lead in the series is not safe. And then you had the Avalanche get on the board to make it 3-1. And then in the third period, Dallas ends up winning the game 5-1. But let's hear the goal that put them up 4-1 in the game, which eventually did propel them to a 3-1 series lead. Here's the Stars Radio Network.
Grabbed by Dodonov. Up to Haskinen. Shot stopped. Georgiev rebound. Lou scored! Evgeny Dodonov! The net crash, the fourth goal of the game. And with 10.5 left, Dallas is back up by 3.
I thought it was Kevin Burkhart there for a second on the play-by-play. Let's hear Hurricanes radio. Rangers up 1-0, then Stahl and Kuznetsov made it 2-1. And then you got this goal to make it 3-1 as the Hurricanes pull away, and they get a Game 5 victory to make this series 3-2, still in favor of the Rangers.
Truba, they give it away to Natchez out in front. Martinuk scores! Natchez to Martinuk, and it's an offensive explosion in the third period. Carolina has a 3-1 lead.
And there you go, as we needed to hear that once again. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Okay, that will do it for the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will catch you manana, everybody, on a Wednesday edition of the program that always gets started right here at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Big thanks to Carlos Ortiz, to Stuart Kovacs, Marco Belletti, each and every one of you. and also Shane Beamer for stopping by, and Jared Greenberg as well. Enjoy the pucks. Enjoy the hoops tonight. We'll chat about it all mañana, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.